Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889, and by French Market Coffee, locally roasted in New Orleans for 125 years. From our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. What would you say if Dickie Brennan asked you to go fishing in Barataria Bay? You'd better believe I said yes. On this week's Louisiana Eats, we'll go fishing with Dickie, his executive chef and lifelong compatriot, Gus Martin, and chefs from the Palace Cafe, the Steakhouse, the Bourbon House, and Tableau. But wait, it gets better. The chefs cook everything we catch, and Dickie carves up the redfish coubillon for dinner. It's all part of the state of Louisiana's Catch and Cook program. And when it comes to bycatch, the catch word for fish previously regarded as trash, if it's edible, we'll eat it. We're catching and cooking on this week's Louisiana Eats. It was still pitch dark outside when I joined Dickie Brennan and his chefs gathered in the Canal Street kitchen of the Palace Cafe, drinking coffee, trying to wake up. Without a moment to waste, we piled into two big SUVs for a trip to Captain Tofield Bourgeois' dock. Once there, the group split up amongst the many boats in Captain Tofield's fleet and headed out to the open waters just as the sun began to rise. I was lucky enough to be on board Captain Tofield's charter boat with Dickie Brennan and executive chef Gus Martin.
All right, I'm Chef Gus Martin with Dickie Brennan and Company out here doing some early morning fishing.
Today we're fishing, we're not catching yet.
With great excitement, Gus reeled in the first catch of the day, a great-looking speckled trout.
I tell you, I just bringing it back in and I just hit it soft, you know. So.
But Dickie's first trout was close behind. Soon, we could hear calls from the other boats as they began catching fish, too. Some additional trout joined the others still flapping in the ice chest, and then I experienced a real first. I caught a great big, bright green, big mouth bass. Yeah, swimming alongside trout, normally caught in salt water, were bass, a species I'd never caught before and that I'd always associated with freshwater fishing. Well, that's salt water diversion for you, my friends. Our captain, Tofield Bourgeois, is a lifelong Louisiana fisherman who navigated the waters, taking us to spots he knew were likely to produce. Given our quick success, it was obvious that Captain Tofield's 25 years of charter fishing out of Lafitte had been time well spent. Bourgeois Fishing Charters, Tofield's business, is one of the most lauded in South Louisiana.
Okay, Captain Tofield Bourgeois, located down in Barataria, Louisiana. And if you're wondering and you listen to my voice, I do have a face for radio, so you don't want to see what I look like. Well, with a name like Tofield Bourgeois, probably not from Chicago. I'm probably not from Indiana. So no doubt born and raised down here in the bayou. You know, the school I graduated from had 22 kids. Actually, 19 of them still live on the bayou, so which is unique, and that's been over 30 years ago. But no doubt, man, I've been fishing professionally for 24 years. You know, we do fishing by boats. Actually, right now, on the whole Gulf Coast, I'm the only one that flies seaplanes out to Chandler Islands. And what we do is we target trophy fish. So if you have a bucket list, you want to come out, you want to fly seaplanes, go wade fishing out in the Gulf of Mexico to the Chandler Islands. I call it the Cajun Bahamas, you know, because I'm out there. We're 32 miles from any shoreline. We very seldom see people. And it's all by plane. So we fly down the coastline, check out the water, actually can see the fish by air. and pretty much land and catch them up. And that's kind of what we do, man. So right now, 52 years old, figuring I probably got another 30 years of doing this.
People come from out of town and go fishing with you. Where do they come from, for instance?
I fish people all over the world. So, I mean, I have actually a world map in my foyer in my lodge. And I actually let people pin their states and countries as they come here, which is pretty cool. So right now, what we're getting ready to do, we're getting ready to write a book. And the book is going to be Fishing Tales of a Louisiana Cajun Charter Boat Fisherman. I'm never surprised. I've seen people naked that should have been naked. I've seen drugs that shouldn't have been on a boat. I've seen people get drunk, fall asleep, fall out the boat, fall in the boat. You know, so, I mean, there's not much we haven't experienced down here in the bayou. Now, today, you know, we have, you know, Chef Dickie Brennan with us and his head chef, Gus, with us, taking them out their natural element, because their day consists of probably getting up like me, 4 o'clock in the morning, but they walking through their coolers. They're looking at product, looking at, you know, we've got to sell to make quotas and, you know, sell the plates. So today we turn that around for them. So today they come down to the bayou to me. I cooked them pancakes with some blueberries in it this morning, with a little strawberry and a Cool Whip on the side. That's the extent of my little deal for them. But yeah, we brought them out on the bayou, and we, you know, caught some nice redfish, caught some speckled trout. Now, the key thing about what we're talking about today is, you know, it's really unique to come to Southeast Louisiana to be able to come fishing and join, say, the sportsman's paradise.
Tofield's friend Dickie has long been on board with the new Louisiana's Catch and Cook program. In fact, all his restaurants participate. The way the program works, a charter fishing group can bring their catch to a participating restaurant where the chef will prepare their fresh-caught fish to order. Dickie, this fishing concept is such a great idea for locals and visitors alike. Tell me how you and your restaurants came to be involved and how it works with the Dickie Brennan restaurants when you want to catch and cook.
I guess the state came up with the regulations to where you can legally cook what you harvest as a sports fisherman in a New Orleans restaurant. You know, we did this regulation a couple of years ago, and I happened to be on a fishing trip with one of the local fishing guides, and like in the middle of it, all of a sudden I was like, you know, hey, have you turned any of your customers on to going to a restaurant to letting a chef cook? And the guy's like, you know, I never think to do it. I always forget about it. So the next night, he's like calling saying, let's do it. And so we did like 5 of them in a row. And, I mean, even one night we're busy in the restaurant. We put the guys in the kitchen, did a chef's table in the kitchen with them. And it's like a tasting menu, but, you know, with this beautiful, fresh, caught Louisiana seafood. And that's what one of the greatest things about living in Louisiana is. Our back door is the mouth of Mississippi River. It's the most fertile fish grounds in the world. We have the most beautiful seafood. We get to enjoy it, and there's nothing better than eating fresh seafood.
Gus, since I have the pleasure of having you all here with me, what's it like on an evening when some fisherman calls up and says, hey, I'm coming in with my fish?
Well, it's exciting for us. We want people to enjoy themselves. We're in the hospitality industry. We want, you know, give them a total great experience. You know, we, the chefs and myself, we have a great time with it. It's really, it's fun. It's unique. It challenges our chefs to get a little more creative on the creative side. And it's all about making our guests happy. A lot of the local fishermen, when they come in, the fish that we've seen is a lot of redfish, a lot of drum, a little bit of sheephead, some yellowfin tuna. Those are pretty much the fish that they've brought in to us to play around with, you know. And every fish species of fish they bring in, we create a new special for them for that night. You know, we deal with the local farmers. So what we do is we tie in a lot of our dishes with local ingredients is from Louisiana. And it's just when people come down here, it's a joy and a pleasure to present something that they can't get really back home.
It's a win-win. You take somebody from out of town that's coming in town to fish with a licensed fishing guide for 2 or 3 days. Typically, they spend a night in downtown New Orleans, enjoying New Orleans, either coming or going from their fishing excursion. So, you know, it's a great thing for the restaurants. It's a great thing for the consumer, the diner. I mean, I've grown up my entire life where, I mean, just to drive down in the morning or to wake up at a fishing camp, watch the sunrise, get out on the boat, you know, go catch some fish, and then to be able to cook with your family, your friends, enjoy it. I mean, you know, we always say that's what living in New Orleans is all about. It's one of the wonderful things that we have available for us that most people will never be able to experience.
Well, that's absolutely the truth. And Gus, I happen to know that you and Dickie have known each other since you were both in high school. Is fishing something that you all have done together in the past?
Well, I haven't done a lot of fishing with Dickie, but, you know, I've done a lot of fishing, you know. We catch up, we talk food all the time, but, you know, we'll get out there and do some fishing. This is a great time we had today, and I'm sure we'll have more trips lined up.
Hopefully now that we're older, we have some time where we can go do some fishing.
When we returned to the dock and compared our haul, it was evident that the night's dinner was guaranteed to be a feast. As the crew cleaned the fish on the dock, the chefs began to flesh out ideas about how they'd like to prepare the day's bounty. Needless to say, I needed some serious sprucing up before dinner, so I headed home and sent producer Joe Schreiner downtown to the Tableau kitchen so we wouldn't have to miss a minute of the action.
We all work in the Tableau submarine. All right, hipster, how are you? I'm John, welcome to Tableau. Chef Gus is the person that you want to talk to right now.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and take over chopping onions for him, and you're going to talk to him real quickly.
Gus Martin, how you doing?
All right, I'm great. How long have you been preparing everything?
We're working from 4:30 to right now, so we're a little under the gun today.
I understand.
But
I understand.
It's a good challenge, and I know we got a great group of people. We all went out fishing this morning, so we got a great group of people coming in. We're going to sort of do like our meals tonight are going to be like family style. So we have two tables, so I think that's good. Well, I think we're close on it, you know, so we're going to try to make them happy, you know, and that's what it's about. I think this program is really taking off, and the whole thing, like I was telling Poppy and Dickie, you know, it's us interacting with the fishermen, you know, because, you know, a lot of people have restrictions now, too, you know, and when, you know, you sit down there and you have good conversation and they bring their catch in and we start talking, and we talk about restrictions they have, if they have any. If not, you know, that's when my chefs have a good time making some great dishes for them, you know. So, but we're all about taking care of the people, and I think it's a great way to go spend a day fishing and then going to have some fun with friends and family, you know. So we're excited to have some fun tonight, you know, and looking forward to doing. I got a good team here right now, so we're gonna. We're basically trying to fine tune a couple things, and then we're gonna move forward, you know.
As we sat down to dine, executive chef Gus Martin took a moment to speak about the evening's menu, which included largemouth bass, black drum, speckled trout, and redfish. The chef served the fish raw, seared, stuffed, and baked whole in a salt crust. My favorite part was watching Dickie break through the salt crust the big redfish had been baked in, expertly removing pieces of fillet, saucing them with a traditional red Creole gravy, and serving up a perfect rendition of redfish cubillon. As we parted after the long day, we'd made new friends and had fabulous new fishing tales for the telling. Interested in some fun like this of your own? Have Captain Toefiel help you catch your fish and make your dinner reservations, too. You can find him at NewOrleansFishing.com. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. What is the concept behind salt-baked fish? Stay tuned, and we'll answer that question when we come right back. ¶¶ Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, and from French Market Coffee. French Market Coffee's premium blend beans are locally roasted in small batches, creating a coffee that can only be called New Orleans Bold. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Culinary Institute. What is the concept behind salt-baked fish? Salt baking a whole fish is one of the easiest, foolproof ways to guarantee a perfectly cooked, tender, flavorful fish that doesn't taste salty at all. That's the way the big redfish we caught on our catch-and-cook adventure with Dickie Brennan was prepared. Here's how you can do it at home. First, preheat the oven to 450 degrees. Then, line a large rimmed baking pan with aluminum foil. Take your whole skin-on fresh fish and rinse it inside out, then pat it dry with paper towel. Sprinkle any spices you'd like in the fish cavity, along with herbs, citrus slices, and aromatic vegetables. For a fish of 3 to 4 pounds, whisk together 2 large egg whites and 1/4 cup of water. Bigger fish? Just increase the egg whites and water. Gently mix in 6 cups of coarse kosher salt to the egg white and water mixture. Then, spread 2 cups of it on the baking pan in a rectangular strip that's about the same length and width as the fish. Lay that fish down on the salted bottom and generously spread the rest of the mixture on top, making sure the fish is completely covered on both sides, then press down on the edges to be sure it's sealed. The fish bakes for 25 minutes, then it rests on the countertop uncovered for 10 more. To serve, gently crack the shell and break it away, brushing off the salt. The flesh will come away from the bones easily for serving. Salt-baked fish can be served simply with a little olive oil and lemon juice, or sauced as lavishly as you'd like. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. Now that you know how to prepare a salt-baked fish, I'll tell you how to make the perfect Creole sauce to recreate the Cubillon-style redfish dish Dickie Brennan served us at Tableau. Of course, first you make a roux with about 1/4 cup oil and 1/4 cup flour. When the roux is dark brown, add that Creole mirepoix of chopped onions, celery, and bell pepper. Then, stir in a can of tomato puree. Add a couple of chopped garlic cloves and season with thyme, bay leaves, salt, pepper, and of course, several good shakes of hot sauce. Simmer the Creole sauce together for 20 to 30 minutes and you're ready to go. To make a traditional Cubillon, you can bake a whole fish in the sauce. Or serve your fish sauced like Dickie did, with the sauce on the side. Or you can add shrimp or chicken to the sauce instead and have shrimp or chicken Creole. For a copy of this recipe and a treasure trove of others, visit my website at poppytooker.com. I'm Poppy Tooker, and any good Creole sauce makes for great Louisiana Eats. Born on the bayou in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, Lance Nacio followed in the footsteps of his ancestors. Those footsteps led him right off the end of the dock and onto the deck of a shrimp boat. After more than 20 years as the captain of his own vessel, the Anna Marie, Lance has seen firsthand the effects of erosion, oil spills, and storms on our coastline. We talked with Lance about how he's using innovation to fight back against the many setbacks that all too often beset our Gulf fishermen.
My name is Lance Nacio. I'm owner and operator of Anna Marie Seafood. I have two shrimp boats, and we produce some good quality Louisiana shrimp.
You certainly do. And Captain, I am so happy to have you here on the SS Louisiana Eats. Thanks for coming. When we talk about environmental protection and our precious Mississippi watershed and the waters out into the Gulf, I know that you're one of the people who really puts his money where his mouth is. Tell us, how did you first become aware of the need for environmental protection as a shrimper?
Well, Poppy, growing up, you know, off of the land like that, I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime. I'm only 45 years old, but I've seen a tremendous amount of changes with coastal erosion and subsidence and land loss. You know, we had several hurricanes in a row, and what it's done is brought an influx of salt water into the estuaries, and it killed off a lot of the native vegetation. And you know, in that time, we had a lot of subsidence and erosion that occurred. So, I mean, I've seen some pretty traumatic things in my lifetime in the wetlands.
When you have those direct visuals, it really does hit home. And so what do you set out to do to make a difference?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all about education. You know, I mean, when people don't know, I mean, they just take things for granted. But, you know, here in South Louisiana, we have a tremendous amount of resources that come from these estuaries. And, you know, I like to educate people that, you know, don't take it for granted. It may not be here forever.
The practices that you enforce on board are really at the cutting edge of shrimping. Explain why you don't, for instance, use any TSP. What is TSP, and why is that never on board any of your ships?
Okay, I think what you're talking about is tripolyphosphate. But what we do is we, first off, when we're out shrimping, we use all types of gear to reduce or eliminate any kinds of bycatch. We pull turtle excluders, we pull bycatch reduction devices. So firsthand, when we're out there, we're just trying to target and catch shrimp. And then, you know, also what we do is once we harvest the shrimp, bring them aboard, we sort them by size, we chill them in refrigerated seawater, and we package them and plate freeze them at 40 below zero.
Describe that plate freezer to me, because the plate freezer is, to me, one of the magical pieces of equipment on your boat.
Well, what we do with that is it's we have these plates that we package the product once it's been pre-chilled, and we put them on these plates, and the contact surface of these plates is 50 below zero. So what we're doing is we're capturing that out-of-the-water quality. So we can send this shrimp to a chef in New York, and he's going to have the same quality as if he pulled it out the water himself.
And what happens if you go the chemical route?
Well, I mean, you can cheat a little, you know, but I mean, you don't have the taste and texture and flavor, you know, as you would. And that's my whole thing is, you know, I want someone in another state, another country to experience what I get to eat on a daily basis.
As a home user of shrimp, explain to people what shadow packing means.
Shadow pack is just a term. You know, these shrimp, we plate freeze them in 20-pound boxes, and they call it shatter because you can break them apart. You can take individual shrimp out of the box, and, you know, it works very well. There's no brine. There's no chemicals, no preservatives. So this shrimp, when you thaw it and work with it, I mean, it's literally like it just came out of the water.
In your work as what truly is a leader of this particular industry, how have you seen your fellow shrimpers react and follow along?
I've been fishing for about 20 years, and about 10 years ago, I started plate freezing, and the first few years, people thought I was crazy. In the last 2 or 3 years, everybody's trying to jump on board. So we have several other fishermen that are starting to use the technology we do. And
how much does it cost to outfit a shrimp boat with that sort of equipment?
You know, probably right now they got the cost down to $40,000 or $50,000, you know, but when I did it, it was probably $70,000 or $80,000 because it was a lot of learning. I mean, we bought things and did things that really we didn't have to go that far along, and you know, the technology's come a ways, and it's about half of what it costs now to do than when I did it.
I have to ask you, what is your favorite way to eat shrimp?
You know, one of my favorite ways to eating shrimp is fried soft-shelled shrimp is one of my favorites.
Let's talk about soft-shelled shrimp. What are they?
Well, soft-shelled shrimp is like any other crustacean. It has to molt in order to grow. And what we do is we sort them out. When we're sorting shrimp, we'll take out the soft shells, chill them in seawater, refrigerated seawater, and plate freeze them, and then we have it to offer. And, you know, I have a lot of local support with these soft-shelled shrimp. John Besh's restaurants have used most of the soft-shell shrimp we've produced in the last few years.
It used to be that soft-shell shrimp was a big secret that only the captain knew about, right?
Well, that's right, yeah. It was mostly what the fishermen kept for themselves, you know, and what we've been able to do with this freezer and packaging is bring it out to other folks.
What's the best part of being a fisherman?
The best part is, you know, when you pull that net up and you open that bag up, it's like Christmas, you know. You don't know what bounty you're going to get from it. And another part is, you know, the beautiful sunrises and sunsets and, you know, the idea that you're out there creating your own destiny. That's the best part of it.
And the flip side of the coin?
There's no flip side.
I love you, Lance. That's great. Thank you so much for coming to see us at Louisiana Eats.
Well, thank you, Poppy.
Entrepreneur and innovator, Lance Nacio of Anna Marie Seafood. In the last segment, we learned how Lance Nacio is using new fishing practices to improve the quality of seafood coming out of the Gulf. There's another way Lance and other Gulf fishermen are transforming the industry. By selling trash. No, not garbage. Trash fish, I mean. Trash fish, also known as bycatch, are fish caught in shrimping nets by accident. And in the past, they were thrown overboard, hence their name. But now, fishermen and restaurants alike are cashing in and making one man's trash everyone's treasure. We spoke with Lance and Chef Darren Nesbitt to hear how trash fish are being used every day in the kitchens of Dickie Brennan's restaurants.
I'm Lance Nacio, owner and operator of Anna Marie Seafood. And bycatch is some unintended species that we produce while we're harvesting shrimp, you know, because we're pulling a net through the water, and we catch whatever's in the water. And we have gear in there to help reduce the amount of bycatch, but you still pull up unintended bycatch. And bycatch is anything other than what you're targeting, you know, which we pull up crabs, sardines, croaker, you know, all kinds of things like that. But there is bycatch that, you know, people really enjoy to eat that they don't get a chance to eat. And some of the stuff is like flounder or Atlantic whiting, drumfish, sheep's head, you know, things like that that we're legally we can keep aboard, and we process it and try to bring it out over to Bourbon House.
Well, I'm Darren Nesbitt. I'm the executive chef of Bourbon House. Bourbon House specifically features seafood. We're very excited to partner up with Lance. He's a very interesting individual in that he's got a really neat setup on his boat, and I'll let him explain that.
Well, what we do is we pass our shrimp sometimes through what's called a salt tank, and what it does, it floats out any any unwanted bycatch, and we actually pull gear to reduce the amount of bycatch, and we've been doing it for a long time. We pull TEDs in our skimmers, which is a turtle excluder device, but it also helps us get rid of any unwanted bycatch, such as sharks or bigger fish that, you know, may make it into the tail bags. Different types of rays it gets rid of out of our nets, you know. And unfortunately, we do lose some of the good trash fish that we would want to save by using this, but you know, our operation, it's got to be really efficient for all the work we do. So whenever we pull our haul, we don't want to have too much unintended catch, you know, because it makes better quality and easier handling when we do that.
Has your bycatch device use caused any level of loss in your total shrimp catch?
You know, there is some loss, but, you know, the loss is minimal when it comes to the fact that we're able to handle it much quicker and bring in a much better quality product.
How did the dialogue begin between you and Darren about your bycatch?
Well, I was reached out last year about them coming out and seeing my operation. They came out, and it was four chefs, and it was a total of, I think, 14 people. And I, you know, showed them the operation and cooked some shrimp for them. And, you know, everything went over really well. And we showed them all the different stuff we were saving, you know, types of bycatch and stuff. And they were really interested in what we had to offer. And when we started doing business was kind of like at the tail end of our season. So, you know, we have a whole year to look forward to. And the second boat, I'm putting a freezer on it next month. So the amount of product we're able to deliver should literally double.
Darren, I'd like to hear from your perspective why you, as the corporate chef for Dickie Brennan, decided to tackle the bycatch.
I think from a restaurant perspective, it's important, or at least interesting, to see a variety of fish on the menu. You know, we've gotten so kind of locked into redfish and drum, you know, tuna. So for someone to see flounder or whiting or and, you know, just a little variety, I think that's interesting to the consumer as well as ourselves. And I'd like to do more of that. And there's just not a lot of people specifically fishing for those fish. But the biggest thing for me was soft shell shrimp. I'm from Chicago. So, you know, my first time at Commander's touching a soft shell crab when it was alive, it scared the crap out of me. You know, and I didn't know what a soft shell crab was. And then to kind of find out that, you know, you can get soft shell shrimp. I mean, to this day, I still haven't really touched a soft shell crawfish, but I know they're out there. But Lance is a guy, and nobody else is doing that. He's hand-picking soft shell shrimp out and putting them in little Ziploc bags and saving those. So for us to get it, it's a novelty. And it's fun for the customers because I'm sure a lot of those folks are from Canada and Chicago and San Francisco. They've never seen that either. So we get fresh shrimp quite a bit. And I always thought those little soft shell shrimp that were mixed in there were just ones that were like abused or like stuck at the bottom of the net and smashed. And so I didn't even know what it was. So to find this is really pretty exciting for us.
How do you cook them?
Well, just because our supply is limited, we don't have a lot of them. We like to sell sides, you know, maybe just five shrimp for guests so they get the experience of having. And we also do platters, but we just do a real light tempura batter, usually with like a beet of beer, you know, to kind of showcase. We don't want to cover it up and heavily bread it, so it's just a light tempura so you can visibly see the shrimp. And it really, in my opinion, has a better shrimp flavor than just by eating like the tail meat. Because you get everything. And I guess it's just like sucking the heads of crawfish. You get all the fat and flavor and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, to be able to just eat the shrimp head is kind of, it's weird, but it's fun. And it's delicious. It changes the flavor. It really does. So,
what has been the most challenging of the bycatch that's come in the back door?
I think for me was the squid, the calamari. Because we do sell a lot of calamari, but quite honestly, it all comes in clean. So Lance gets it, but then we're, you know, picking out beaks and eyes, and you know, it's labor intensive. I mean, it really is. And it's not that it cooks up any different or anything like that, but just because we are a high volume restaurant, to produce that much, we would have to have kind of a processing plant in the second floor or something, you know. So
I guess that means that when you're processing Lance's squid, it's sort of a labor of love then.
It is a labor of love. And, you know, honestly, we would love to get fresh local calamari, you know, exclusively. At this point, it's not a reality, though. So, but yeah, yes, a labor of love, for
it
sure.
It would require a processor in the area, and nobody's paying that much attention to it.
And it would change the price dramatically, too, so...
What else? Did you ever get anything in the back door that you were like, never saw this before? What is this?
I don't think so. Not yet. I mean, he had some nice croakers that we, you know, especially Ben Thibodeau at Tableau. He was really interested in the croakers because he had spent some time in France and they do a whole fish preparation. And I think he was very interested in that. I don't know what kind of croaker.
It was actually a whiting. Okay. I had sent in, yeah.
I guess for me, the biggest thing, you know, Lance has tremendous, a lot of flounder. I think that's probably the number one bycatch product. From our perspective, it's a little challenging because there's not a size necessarily. You know, he'll get, you know, pounders, pound and a quarter, pound and a half maybe. So uniformity to some extent, I mean, we're not McDonald's, you know, and it's not a cookie cutter process. But to some extent, you know, if you get two plates on the same table and one is visibly larger than the other, the guest is going to say, hey, what's up, right? So that's a little bit of a challenge. But we've come up with things on our menu. We do like a fish du jour. And, you know, we take whatever is available and just get creative. And from a chef perspective, it's fun because it gives us something on a daily basis to just really play with.
That was shrimper Lance Nacio and chef Darren Nesbitt. Now that we've had a thorough look at the innovation and entrepreneurial spirit it takes to make it in today's seafood market, when we come back from a short break, we'll introduce you to some adventuring landlubbers who competed this year at New Orleans Entrepreneurs Week. Stay tuned. Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Rouse's Markets and from Ralph's on the Park, featuring Chef Chip Flanagan's globally influenced New Orleans cuisine overlooking City Park. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, and private events at 900 City Park Avenue in New Orleans, Mid-City. Over the past few years, entrepreneur has become a big buzzword in New Orleans. During New Orleans Entrepreneurs Week, that buzz becomes a virtual roar. The concept of the Big Idea Competition is to help startup the most promising of startups. The Big Idea Prize? $25,000 in cash. We spoke with three of the contestants who also happen to be food producers. Although their products are very different, each ambitious entrepreneur shares a passion for their future in Louisiana.
My name is Brendan Dodd, also known as Bagel Boy. My company is actually called Bagel Boy.
My name is Artemis Antipas, and I'm with Greek Girls Rice Pudding.
My name is Charlie Munford. I'm the owner of Charlie's Wild Boar Sausage.
That is the word for rice pudding in Greek. It's risogalo. In Greece, I'd say rizogal is a way of life. It's everywhere. Everyone has their own version. Every shop sells it. Every grocery store has multiple versions of it. It's second nature to the Greeks.
So basically, I got to be bagel boy. I used to work at a local bagel shop here in the city. And at the end of the day, I quickly realized that they weren't selling out of all of their bagels. And so instead of them getting wasted, because I'm just not a fan of food getting thrown away, that's still good, I would take all their bagels and then I would post on Facebook, or there's a group called Tulane Classifieds, which is basically a New Orleans community group with 20,000 people. And I would ask if anyone wanted free bagels, and whoever responded, I would bike those bagels to wherever they were in the city for free, just so the food didn't go to waste. And then people eventually started tipping me and giving me money just for that. And so I realized then that this could be a business idea. And so people are already like organically calling me Bagel Boy. And so December 6, 2016, I officially got the LLC rights to the company.
Well, I've basically started focusing on this in 2011. I founded a company to promote sustainable agriculture. And the first thing we did is we found that there was a need for locally grown livestock to be harvested and sold to restaurants. So we started Two Run Farm, and for 5 years we've been harvesting locally grown livestock for New Orleans and Baton Rouge restaurants. And then we found out that this wild boar opportunity was available to us as a processing plant to help deal with the invasive problem of wild boar, and we discovered that this sausage is a really great solution to that problem. It helps the environment and it allows us to produce a really great artisanal sausage that people really love.
This recipe, actually, I call it our family's ancient Greek rice pudding recipe. It's been in my family for almost 200 years. I tweaked it a little bit over the last couple years just for production purposes. And so I sort of started out saying, bringing it around to a few chef friends. My family's already tried it. They all love it. Restaurant owners, strangers on the street. I was giving it to anyone just for that feedback to see if this is something that I should pursue. Everybody flipped out over it. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna try this out. Let me make a company and just see what happens. And right now we're in over 20 stores.
I ended up doing my own recipe, and I had like a trial process where I would give it to friends and let them try it, and I would try and get a census of what bagels worked, what didn't. And it's just trial and error that I was able to create like what makes my bagels unique. And I've had a lot of people from New York, New Jersey say my bagels remind them of bagels back home, which is a huge compliment. And especially in a city like this where there's just not that many bagel options, yet we have a lot of Northeastern people who've migrated down here.
A lot of cultures have their version of rice pudding. Some are similar to the Greek version. Some of the Eastern Europeans, they add the raisins. The Indian rice pudding is a little bit soupier. The Louisianians, they bake their rice pudding. So the really traditional Greek way is really slow cooked. You always serve it in a really shallow platter so that each bite, because then you sprinkle the cinnamon on top, so that each bite you get has that delicious cinnamon on top. My family, our little secret is we make ours with lemon zest.
Part of the traditional artisanal Cajun sausage making is basically slow smoking any type of pork, either tasso or andouille or smoked sausage, over a real wood fire. So we engineered a special smoker at our processing plant in Springfield, Louisiana, to basically replicate that artisanal process. So it's just, the flavor is designed to be just like, and the process is just like a traditional Cajun tin shack out behind the farmhouse.
So for me, like what I do is I have my ingredients, I mix them, and then I roll them into the dough. And then usually it's like an hour or two to let them rise, and then I boil them, and then I bake them. I also became very popular because on January 13th, I made the Mardi Gras bagel, which kind of like, I feel like just went crazier than I would have expected. I've delivered bagels all around the country. I like ship bagels now, and so that's what blew me up, so.
Well, I'd say the first challenge and the biggest challenge was learning how to make it. It is probably only the second or third thing I can actually cook. I'm very uncomfortable in the kitchen, uncomfortable with knives, anything in the kitchen. It's just not, it's not for me. My mom's a wonderful cook. My sister's a wonderful baker. Me, I just, it was never my thing. But I was really determined to learn how to make it. And so my yaya, my grandmother, and my mom were very patient. And they taught me. It took a couple months for me to really nail the recipe. And as far as taking it from the way that my grandmother and mom have made it, it was really pretty simple because it's such a straightforward treat. There's literally only five ingredients in it. It's milk, rice, cane sugar, lemon zest, and cinnamon. So the only thing I had to really work with was the lemon zest.
It's on the shelves at 70 different stores around the state, and we keep adding more stores every week. For restaurants and customers that are doing any sort of fine dining, we also offer fresh and frozen primals of wild boar, like rack, leg, shoulder, and that type of primals for chefs.
I love our list of stores. We're in a lot of really wonderful premium shops around town. We started at Stein's Deli. He has been a huge support, Dan Stein. We're at Holly Grove. They include us in their box all the time, which is really exciting because it means people are trying it without really buying it, which is wonderful. We've been in St. James Cheese. We're now in the bigger stores like Langenstein's and Dornach's and Robert's, which is really exciting for us. All kinds of places. St. Rock Market. We're now at the Co-op down in St. Claude, Orange Couch. All kinds of really great places. Well, I plan on rice pudding world domination. So I'm thinking really big. I love being local, and we use mostly local Louisiana ingredients, which I hope will continue as we grow. But I want to be international. I want to grow to the South region. I want to grow nationally. And then I want to kick butt in Greece. I want this to be the number one rice pudding in Greece.
I guess I'd like to say I'm opportunistic. I just happened to fall upon this. I've always loved food. Growing up in St. Louis, my stepdad was always grilling, making ribs. My mom was always cooking. And I've always been like a foodie growing up. And so I think like that was why I just didn't like the bagels going to waste. And I did that for 5 months. And like I said, people just organically started calling me Bagel Boy. People would call me Bagel Boy before my actual name. Like, they would know me like instead of like, oh, that's Bagel Boy. That's not Brendan. I saw an opportunity and I just went with it. Like, if people love bagels and I enjoy making them, I might as well just keep doing it, and the people love it. Like, it's, demand has just been growing and growing.
That was Brendan Dodd, Artemis Antipas, and Charlie Mumford, three entrepreneurs who participated in the Big Idea competition during New Orleans Entrepreneurs Week. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Have you missed an episode of Louisiana Eats? Hear today's show or catch up on previous editions anytime online at itsneworleans.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and take us with you wherever you go. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Zatarain's, French Market Coffee, and Rouse's Markets. Additional support for Louisiana Eats is provided by the Shreveport-Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau and from Dickie Brennan Steakhouse, a local New Orleans steakhouse serving prime beef in New Orleans' French Quarter. Original theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to producers Joe Schreiner, Sarah Holtz, and Reggie Morris. Come visit us anytime in our Louisiana Eats studios at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Don't forget to find our recipes and see what we're up to at poppytooker.com. You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. I'm Poppy Tooker. Louisiana Eats is a production of Poppy Tooker Broadcasting.